everybody. I'm happy. I don't have to wait till I get there. Amen. I looked at Brother Gunderman and I lipped, "Have you taken the offering?" And I thought he said no. I get my own little world over there. Oh, you did say no. I'm not losing my mind. Then you said yes. Okay. So I'm happy. He's already taken the offering. I'm ready to preach. Amen. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Let's go to the Word. We want to say how thankful we are for everyone who is here tonight, and especially our guests. Would you welcome all of our guests? There's so many here. We're so thankful that you are here tonight with us at Turning Point Apostolic Church. In fact, you should take a moment and just turn around and shake somebody's hand and find somebody maybe that you haven't shaken their hand yet. Maybe you don't know them. And just shake their hand, tell them who you are. On the 31st of this month, that's a Saturday, I'm sorry, of next month in March, we will have a spring blast. It's going to be a great day. It will be on March the 31st, beginning at 11, going till 1 for a couple of hours there. And this is a children's ministry event, but we need everyone to be involved. Easter egg for ages 1 through 12, so we need eggs. That's not the same day, is it? Oh, it is the same day. We're doing it all together. Wonderful. Okay, so we need you to bring eggs. We need you to bring candy. We'll have games and events and giveaways and activities and free food. I should have led with that. And we need all... What? We need all... If possible, we need all, brother, are you left-handed like me? Oh, I should be able to read this. We need all to serve? Okay, we need all to be involved, if possible. That's not what this says. I'm telling you, but that's what you meant. Okay. It's my fault. I should have read it before I got up here. I thought I could pull that off. Don't worry, I can't read my own notes half the time. That's why when I preach for an hour. I'm really trying to figure out what my notes say. Now, I'm going to scare you to death here, but I'm going to preach the book of Acts. Don't leave when I say this, because you're going to be amazed. I'm going to do this in 30 minutes or more. I'm going to preach the book of Acts. the book of Acts, chapters 1 through, are you ready for this? 1 through 12. I'm not going to read them all. And I'm only going to spend a few moments. I'm trying to figure out what I want to use as a key verse. The Lord just dropped this on me a while ago. But I think I want to take you to chapter 12 and verse number 1. Chapter 12 of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an exciting book, and especially for the Pentecostal church, for those of us who understand the power of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. For those of us who are excited about the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the book of Acts tells us about all the acts of the early church. 12:1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And Peter, therefore, verse 5, was kept in prison. Everybody say, but prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that has a realization that the only reason that you are even here is because somebody prayed for you. I look around this building and I see several of you. If it wasn't for prayer, I know some of y'all's stories. And if it wasn't for prayer, aren't you glad for prayer? Lord, help us tonight to preach your word. Help us tonight to receive it. I pray, God, for a special anointing. God, take over in this place and let your will be done. Loose your power to work and minister in the lives of your wonderful people. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, and everybody say amen. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. So go with me to chapter 1. Watch this now, 30 minutes or more. I'm going to preach through 13 chapters. I will say this, it'll be 30 minutes or less. Watch this, verse, just because I want to arrest your attention, but I think I can do this. In chapter 1, the book of Acts doesn't start in chapter 12, where we read about Peter's prison breakout. It doesn't start in chapter number 11, where we see this wonderful spreading of the gospel. It doesn't start in 9, where we read about the exciting conversion of Paul. It starts in chapter 1, where all we have in chapter 1. It doesn't start in chapter 2, where we read about the wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But in chapter 1, all we really have in chapter 1 is a promise. But what a promise. When Jesus tells them in verse number 4, but wait for the promise. Everybody say promise. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. He says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Here's the promise that he's giving them, with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Every once in a while, we just need to stop and pause and thank God for the promise that he's given us. We may not have the realization yet, but thank God for a promise. You may not have the fruition, come on somebody, but sometimes you ought to just dance. You ought to just thank God. You ought to just give him a praise. Because he's promised you he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. He'll be with you to the end of the earth. He promised you if you pray in Jesus' name that you'd have the answer. He's promised you. He's promised you. Some of you may be here tonight and you've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet into your life. But I've got good news for you. It is a promise to everybody that you can have the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the promise. But in chapter 1, we just have the promise. Then we get to chapter 2, and here we have Pentecost. Everybody say Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire set on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and all these people that were around dwelling there from all these different lands, all these different languages, they begin to hear these 120 believers speaking in tongues. It was foreign tongues to the one speaking, but some of them that were there, they heard these people speaking in an unlearned tongue, but speaking in their tongue, and they understood that they were praising God, prophesying in the name of the Lord, and they were amazed, and they begin to wonder, what's going on? And some of them thought that they were drunk, so Peter stood up in about verse 14 and began to clarify for them and said, look, you men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, you need to know this. And hearken to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's just the third hour of the day. But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. He told us that he's going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. He said, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And so the promise of chapter 1 is realized in Pentecost in chapter 2. Sometimes we ought to just stop and give God some praise for Pentecost. I'm thankful to be Pentecostal. I'm thankful for a Pentecostal experience. Come on, don't try to come around me trying to tell me there's no such thing as tongues. There's no such thing as the Holy Ghost. It's not for us today. You're already too late. I've already experienced my day of Pentecost when I was 9 years old, bowed down at an altar, and got filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. If you got the Holy Ghost, clap your hands to the Lord and give him a shout in this place tonight. If you're thankful for Pentecost. Because on the day of Pentecost, everything changes for this world. On the day of Pentecost, we have the birth of the New Testament church. It was breathed in with a noise and with a breath and with a wind and with tongues and the power and the Holy Ghost and an anointing. And Peter begins to preach to them, and he told them, look, you need to understand that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and you've crucified him and hung him on a tree. And so they begin to wonder, well, what shall we do? If we're in trouble, tell us how to get out of trouble. So Peter stood up in chapter 2, verse 38, and here it is, the Pentecostal mantra. Aren't you glad for Acts 2:38 when Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's for you, it's for your children, it's to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Aren't you thankful for a plan of salvation? Aren't you thankful for Pentecost? We've got a promise in chapter 1. We've got Pentecost in chapter 2. And then in chapter 3, we see Peter and John, Brother Worthen, taking this wonderful Pentecostal experience, and they begin to realize the words that Jesus had already told them. Works that I do, you shall do greater. These signs shall follow them that believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So when we get to chapter 3, here's Peter and John, and they're going to the temple in verse 1 at the hour of prayer. And a certain man is there who's lame from his mother's womb. He's been carried daily, laid at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. He's there to ask alms of them that enter into the temple. He sees Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask for them an alms. Verse 4 tells it, Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And the beggar gave heed unto them. He was expecting to receive something. He just didn't understand what he was getting ready to receive. And Peter said, look, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What does he have? You got to go back to chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, where he received what was promised in chapter 1. He got it in chapter 2. And in chapter 3, we see the power. Everybody say power. It's promised in 1. It's on the day of Pentecost in 2. And in 3, we see the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to stop and tell you Pentecostals something tonight. This is not an anemic experience. You're not on your last breath and your last leg. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've been anointed with Holy Ghost and fire. You've got a power in you. You've got authority in you. You can cast out devils. You can pray for the sick and they'll be recovered. You can pray powerful prayers and things have to happen. Somebody shout power. Jesus told them in chapter 1, you shall receive power. Come on. Don't try to tell me that we're some weak, need, barely getting by church. I've done read the book. I know better. I may get knocked down occasionally, but you're not going to knock me out, because I got power on the day of Pentecost. When I experienced Pentecost, I got more than religion. I got more than just some cheap little experience, some little doodads up and down my spine. But I got filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and there's power. Let me say it this way. You got power. You've got power. You've got, young people, why don't you jump to your feet? And I'll tell you, you've got power. You've got power, and you've got power, and you've got power, and you've got. Have you got the Holy Ghost? Jump to your feet and give God praise for the power of the Holy Ghost. This ain't just for preachers. I'm glad it is for preachers, but it's not just for preachers. So they, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, what do they have? Power. Let me tell you, if you're watching live stream or you're listening to a CD, or maybe you're here tonight and you don't know this, if you ever need prayer, be careful what church you go to for prayer. I won't call out names, but I'll tell you, not every church is going to pray in the name of Jesus, for one thing. And you need to find you a church that'll pray in that name that's above every name. That name to whatever, to which every other name must bow. You need to find a church. And you don't be afraid to ask them. Now, when you pray for me, what are you going to say? You're going to say Father, Son, Holy Ghost? You're going to pray, you're going to just pray in His name? Or are you going to call out the name of Jesus? Because there's only power in the name of Jesus. Some of you look like you don't believe me, but you do believe me, don't you? They said there's no other name under heaven given among men. There's no power in the name of Ron. There's just not. There's no power in the name of Sean. There's no power in the name of Daniel. There's no power. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you don't have power in your own name. You're a great woman. You've got a great family. You're a great matriarch of your family. But when your family comes to you, they don't come to you because of the name of Linda. They come to you because they know Linda is going to call on the name of Jesus Christ. And when you pray in the name of Jesus, things will turn around. Demons have to flee. Sickness has to flee. Depression has to lift. Every devil that comes against you has to run. Why? Because the gates of hell shall not prevail. Come on and shout like you believe it. Come on and clap your hands like you believe it. Somebody give the Lord a praise like you believe what this preacher is saying tonight. I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. Woo! Go ahead and take a lap, sister. It's worth taking a lap over. I'm telling you, there's power to rise above your problems, power to rise above your situations, power in the name of Jesus to call out your situations, and they have to change. So find you a church that'll pray in the name of Jesus, then find you a preacher that not only believes in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but's experienced it. Not only preaches tongues, but speaks in tongues. Not only talks about the supernatural, but believes in the supernatural. And when you find him, ask him to pray for you. Whatever your problem, whatever your situation, find somebody that believes in the power of the name of Jesus. How are we doing out there? You okay? I feel the Holy Ghost in here. And I'm reverting back to that 30 minutes or more statement, not the less. Promise, Pentecost, power in chapter 3. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He took him by the hand, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Ladies and gentlemen, this man's been lame from his mother's womb. We later find out he's 40 years old, never walked. Just a beggar, just a lame beggar. Highest aspirations in life are to receive alms. And then somebody comes to him with power. Let me tell you, there are people all around your life circle. Your daily walk is peppered with people who are looking for someone who would just have the power to pray for them and turn their situations around. Amen. We get to chapter 4. And now we see Peter and John, who in chapter 3 are praying for a lame man, and he's healed. But in chapter 4, they are arrested. Now, what would you do if tonight after service we pray for a bunch of people during church, they get healed, and then tomorrow you pick up your paper and you see Pastor Ron Hawkins been arrested? How many of you would pray for me? How many of you could hop on Facebook about me? Hope you pray. But they seeing the power of God, and then we get to chapter 4 and we see this persecution. Everybody say persecution. Chapter 3 is full of power, but chapter 4 is full of persecution because they're brought before the Sanhedrin court. And there they are questioned, and they're told, in fact, they are warned not to preach in this name anymore. When they'd set them in the midst in verse 7, they said, by what power, by what name have you done this? They're talking about the power, the miracle in chapter 3. What are you doing this? Whose name are you doing these things in? And Peter, I like that the writer reminds us, go on, verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, you won't stand against persecution if you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. But he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he stood up and said unto them, you rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Well, just let me tell you, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Peter. Mm-hmm. By the name of Jesus. Peter has nothing to do with it other than he's a vessel. He was there, got filled with the Holy Ghost. He was there in chapter 1, got the promise. He's there in chapter 2, got Pentecost. He's there in chapter 3 with the power. And when they say, how are you doing these things? He says, if you're going to press me for an answer, I'll just tell you, it's just by the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, he's bold. Did I mention that the power is not just about praying? The power is about boldness to stand up against persecution. You with me? He said, oh, by the way, who you crucified, who God's raised from the dead. You put him in a grave, but God raised him from the dead. And it's by him that this man stands here before you whole. Let me tell you Pentecostal something. Let me tell us all something. We don't have to just talk this thing. We can walk this thing. If we just dare to exercise our power and boldness and the Holy Ghost, we can walk this thing. We don't have to just talk it. Peter says, all right, I'm not just talking. There's the man. He was lame. He's made whole in the name of Jesus. But the Southern came in tonight. We had music practice at 4:15. Bless his heart. I apologize, brother. I texted our musicians today. I said, 4:15, be here at 4:15, ? And Brother Southern and my son Jordan both responded, can I tell this? Let me tell it. It's funny. Would you? You going to be offended? Okay. So if it's offensive, go outside and I'll tell it with you out there. I'm coming over here. Anyway, he texted me back. What'd you say? I'll try. I'll try. And Jordan texted back, I'll try or do my best, something like that. Well, if you weren't here this morning, I preached against that answer. Remember, I was saying, if the pastor sees you and says, are you coming to church? You ought to say, absolutely, I'll be there, you know, not I'll try. I thought he was being funny. And Tyler responded, I'll be there. So I responded, Tyler wins. He listened to the preaching, you know. Well, I didn't know. Bless his heart. He came in here at 4:15 and got on his bass, and he wasn't his chipper self and smiling and everything. He was okay. He just wasn't himself. And I said, I finally found out he's fighting a migraine. Oh, see, aren't you glad I told it now? Got the sympathy. Now listen, we could have just said, you know, brother. Oh, Tyler. Tyler was late, yes. Little brother wants you to know, big brother was late. But we could have just said, oh, brother, take the night off. Or we could have just said, oh, just power through it. What'd we do, brother? We just said, you know, it's that prayer. In the name of Jesus, let's have prayer. Because I know there's power in the name of Jesus. We don't need our musicians up here with migraine headaches. Come on. You need to pray for our musicians. You need to pray for people that are in leadership. And so we just prayed in the name of Jesus. And later I was telling the singers when they got in here, I said, look, Brother Southern's got, we need to pray. And he said, oh, I'm feeling better already. I just bet you he's feeling even better now. Amen. Yeah, he is. Because there's power in. So we don't have to just talk this thing. We can point our finger around the room. You shouldn't be here, but prayer. Tony, you shouldn't be here, but prayer. We don't have to talk it. We can just, there he is. Hey, you know that man was lame. Now he's here, and by the power of the name of Jesus, who you crucified, here he stands before you. Now what you got to say, he just kind of turned the tables. Let me put you on the spot. Sanhedrin court. He's whole. This is the stone which was said it not of the builders, which is become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You've got power to overcome and to withstand persecution. And may I say to the church today, we may be heading for some serious persecution. We get to chapter 5, and here we see, this is an interesting story. Now I'm going to accelerate here. Don't get nervous. I'm going to accelerate here when I get to chapter 6. But in chapter 5, we see this very interesting story. Promise in 1, Pentecost in 2, power in 3, persecution in 4, because the devil will always come against the church that begins to exercise power. Now, we're headed for chapter 12, where I read for you earlier, and I think represents to us a perpetual prison-breaking experience. I believe that's where God wants us to live, is that whatever situation arises, whatever tries to take us captive, we've got power to break out of prison. I hope you're catching the alliteration tonight, all the P's, because I worked very hard on this, okay? Promise, Pentecost, power, persecution. Chapter 5, we see a certain man named Ananias, remember this story? And his wife Sapphira. They sold the possession. Now this is the New Testament church. The church is getting going here. And everything's in common. Everybody's selling things, giving to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, they want to get on board, but they just want to look like they're really supporting. It's all about show. And so he sold this possession, but he kept back part of the price. There's nothing wrong with that. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here's where the problem was. He laid it at their feet and pretended, though, as though he was giving everything. But Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? I mean, while it was yours, while it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not yours to own power? So why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" Now catch this. He says, "You're not lying to men, but unto God." Now here's what I'm trying to get across to you. There's this story told through the chapters of the book of Acts, and I think it kind of shows us in a typical way how the church progresses from the promise to a Pentecost experience, to the power, we face persecution. But before we get to chapter 12, where we have this perpetual state of prison-breaking power, we have to see some purging. It's going to get real right now. It's going to get real right now because Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't get healed of lame legs. They didn't get blessed by Peter. He said, "You're not lying to men, but you're lying unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. He died. And great fear, you can imagine, came on all them that heard these things. Can you imagine being in a service where somebody comes up and is smitten dead? Well, that traveled faster than somebody getting healed. And the young men arose and they wound him up and they carried him out and they buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours later. I don't know where his wife was. They should have stuck together. At least if she would have came with him, she could have saw what happened to him. Maybe lived. Go to church with your husbands, wives. You might live. But she's 3 hours late. She's doing her hair. Where'd all the love go? All of a sudden, I felt a cold chill. I'm on my own. Come on, you've been to camp, haven't you? All the men are there on time, and the women come strutting in 3 hours later with their big old hairdos. Shame on them. That's sinful, by the way. I'd like to preach camp meeting one time, but anyway. She didn't know what had happened. She shows up 3 hours later. And when his wife, not knowing what was done, she came in and Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she told the same lie. Yeah, for so much. Peter said, look, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door. They buried him and now they're back. And they're going to carry you out. Two deaths. Now, here's my point. In chapter 5, we have a purging. Because before you can go, you can only go so far. We're talking about it on Wednesday nights, by the way, right now. You can only go so far with a Pentecostal experience until some flesh has to start dying off. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for baptism. But ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to, you get to a point where some things got to start dying out of your life. It's going to be a change, experience of change in your life. And purging has to take place. I die daily, Paul said. I have to mortify my flesh every single day because if I don't have some death in here, too much of me starts living. I can't have the revival that I want to have. Let me say it this way. Too much flesh in the church will hold back revival. We can't have the power of Pentecost that was promised to us, even though we withstood persecution, if we haven't purged the flesh. That's why I implore you, church, fast regularly. Pray regularly. Keep that old man, that old woman under subjection. Keep it under. Keep it under the blood. Keep it under the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, you've got to push it down and kill it and destroy it. How are we doing? You okay? You're nervous because I'm only on 5, but I told you I'm going to move along now. Look at chapter 6. In chapter 6, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, verse 1, there arose a murmuring. In the early church, there were murmurers. That makes me feel better. It ain't just here, you know. It ain't just now. There arose murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Why? Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There were people who were not being tended to. They weren't being looked after. So the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, look, now watch this. It is not reason that we, the 12, should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, you need to see this because there may even still be some people around in the church that think the pastor ought to be the janitor and the snow shoveler, not here maybe, but maybe somebody else. You think the pastor ought to clean the bathrooms just to keep him humble every once in a while. He needs to, you know, unclog a toilet. And look, if I have to do that, I'll do it. I'm not above it. In fact, I do. I do these things around here when it comes up. I'm not above it. I like good hard work. Sometimes I just do it. Don't even ask somebody to do it because I want to do it. But I shouldn't have to do it with 200 people in our church. And here's why. Not because it's beneath me to do it, but because my office, these men of God in this church, their office is to devote themselves to the word and to prayer. So that when we get in that pulpit, we've got a fresh word from the Lord. See, if all we get to do is clean bathrooms and unclog toilets and change the toilet paper and mop the floors and fix the air conditioners and vacuum the carpet, you don't want us in the pulpit after all that. Because we're going to bug you to death to grow the church so we can get some fresh blood in here that'll do some work. You know what I'm talking about? And these men of God chapter 6, had enough sense, Brother Pace, to understand we can go tend after all the widows, but we should be here studying the word. We should be here getting a word for the church. We should be here praying so that when we're called to the hospital at 3 a.m, we're fresh, anointed, on fire, praying a prayer of faith. Come on, somebody. And so in chapter 6, are you with me on this? I know I don't have to convince you of that. This is a great church. But here's what happens in chapter 6. We see for the first time planning. The church revival and a good revival church does, I guess that's what I'm talking about tonight. A revival church understands the importance of planning. Everybody say planning. But don't get carried away with planning. You'll notice we're 6 chapters in before we see planning. It was important, just not that important. We didn't plan for, in chapter 1, all they've got is a promise. They didn't gather and huddle up and begin to plan. Okay, we'll go up to this upper room. We're all going to pray. And then guess, okay, somebody open a window. Your job to open the window. And then your job is to fan in the fire. And your job is to get everybody settled down so the fire can land on their heads. Your job would be to go around and get everybody's chin moving so they can speak in tongues. Come on, really? They didn't plan the day of Pentecost. All they knew is we had a promise and we're going to trust God, and it just happened. So we want to plan, but we don't want to overplan. You can't plan a move of God. You've got to pray that in. You can't plan revival. You've got to pray that in. You can't plan miracles. So we need planning. It's important. It's just not that important. How we doing? Here, let me help you. We can be too organized. We can be too structured. We can be too intentional. Huh? So we need to plan, but we got to be careful about overplanning. Brother Mooney told us this weekend, told us men of God, said, If you overplan, what you'll really do is underplan. Because you can plan the move of God right out of your church. We need organization. We need structure. We need to honor that. Hear what I'm telling you, church. You want to have a revival church? We can't have worn out pastors and worn out ministers. So there is something to this care minister. You need to go to your care minister. You don't have to bring everything to me. Not everything. A stubbed toe that needs prayer can go to your care minister. They'll tell the pastor in time, I'll pray for your stubbed toe. But I don't have to know about every ingrown toenail. I'll wear out. You don't want me. See, you may need me to come and pray when you're having open heart surgery, Sister Nancy. And you'll be glad you didn't call me last night for an ingrown toenail, because you want me to have the energy to come at 3 in the morning and pray for your heart attack. You get what I'm saying? So we got to think, we got to honor, we plan these things, we structure these things for a reason, for a purpose, not to isolate the pastor, just to have some proper insulation there so that he's able to pray, able to minister, able to be fresh, able to be praying and prayed up and studied up and on fire and anointed. Everybody say amen. Amen. That's good. Somebody say that's good. I got to drag it out of you when I don't feel like you're getting it. I just got to say, just go ahead and say it anyway. Because I can't get to chapter 7 if I don't believe you're with me on chapter 6. Planning is necessary, but we just got to be careful what we plan. And so they said, look, it's not good that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look you out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It is biblical to have people over certain business of the church. I don't keep the books. We have somebody that does that. I don't clean the church. We have somebody that does that. I don't run the children's ministry. I would run all the kids off. Amen. We have people that do that. Amen. So we plan and we appoint and put people over certain businesses and things of the church. Are you with me? So we need that. We get to chapter 7, and here we see prosecution. It goes beyond persecution in chapter 7. We see Stephen now prosecuted, convicted, stoned to death. We get into chapter 8, and we see more persecution of the church in chapter number 8. We get to chapter 9. I love chapter 9. The one who's doing most of the persecution in chapter 8 is there in verse 1 of chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Whose death? Stephen's in chapter 7. Saul, emboldened perhaps by the execution of Stephen, begins to gather the legal paperwork that he needs. You know the story. He's going to go to Damascus, to the synagogues. He's going to find the Christians that are preaching in the name of Jesus. He's going to bind them, arrest them, bring them back. And they're going to meet the same fate that Stephen's met. Oh, but God. I want to come back to that in just a minute. In chapter 10, so in chapter 8, we have more persecution. In chapter 9, we have Paul. Everybody say Paul. Paul's a great story. I'm going to end with that. But in chapter 10, we have a paradigm shift. This is all things that have to happen in a revival church. We have to be open-minded enough for the Lord to reveal things to us, change our opinions sometimes, not about messages, but about methods sometimes. Sometimes we got to have an open enough mind. Maybe, you know, there might have been a day where the songs that we sang tonight wouldn't have been proper. Maybe in a certain era, in a certain time, it wouldn't have been proper to have a certain, you know, the screen and all these things. But in 2018, what we're doing here, this is the right method right now. For our area where we live in this day, in this time, this is what the Lord, God's not locked into methodologies, but if we get so narrow-minded that it has to be, well, bless God, when I was growing up, we sang hymns, and that's all we sang. Well, we still sing hymns, but that's not all we sing. Amen. Believe it or not, there was a day when the people in the church were mad because of all the new songs that were being put in the hymn books. Even the old songs were new one time. And the song we sang tonight, King of Glory, in 100 years, they might stick that in a hymn book. A digital hymn book that's shown on the screen, right? That'll be an old song in 100 years. Let's sing that old song, King of Glory. It's new to us. So we got to get over some of that stuff. Well, I just like old songs. Well, I just like new songs. Well, I just like this stuff. I don't like, you know, I don't know about the decorations. I don't know about this. I don't know about, get over yourself. God's not locked into old style. God's not locked into small church. God's not locked into big church. God's not locked in, he's not locked into any methodology. As long as we stay on the message, God can use different methods. And the paradigm shift of chapter 10, and it's a good one. You ought to thank God for it if you're not a Jew. Because it's the door being opened to the Gentiles. Story of the man named Cornelius, who's been praying to God for a real revelation and relationship with the Lord. And while the Lord is talking to Cornelius to send for Peter, we have a problem. If Peter doesn't get this paradigm shift, we have a problem. Because Peter is of the opinion, like all the other Jews, that this Pentecost experience, with all of its promise, power, persecution, all of its prosecution, all of that stuff, but it's just for us. Right. So thank God for chapter 10. And thank God for open-minded enough people that paradigms can shift and thoughts can change and we can grow and we can evolve. Amen? And so while the Lord is telling Cornelius, send for Peter, he's also talking to Peter in a vision. You know, most of you know the story. He sees the sheet come down. It's got the unclean, what's unclean in the Old Testament. And the Lord tells him to eat it. Peter's of the opinion, if I eat that, I'm damned. Not so, Lord. You don't know who you're talking to. Nothing unclean's ever touched these holy lips. Paradigm shift. Peter, don't you call anything I call clean unclean. Eyes are opened. Huh? And about the time his spiritual eyes are open at the door. We've been sent for Peter. Okay, I'm Peter. Cornelius sent me. You're supposed to come preach a revival for us. I didn't. Oh, rooftop. Oh, maybe. Okay. So he goes with a few helpers. Takes some witnesses with him. He don't know what's going to happen. They didn't plan it. He just went. Thank God for paradigm shift. Because he goes and preaches to Gentiles and the whole house gets the Holy Ghost while he's preaching. In chapter 11, we see and I had to reach for this one, but I had to stay with the P's. But we have propagation. Because in chapter 11, if you read it in verse 19, we won't go through it too far, but it says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. Well, thank God they were preaching the word. Now, I know that's dealing with that they were preaching to none but the Jews only, and they had the discussion and all of that. But I want you to get here that it's being spread. It's being propagated. It's going, because Jesus told them, go into all the earth. And so Stephen's persecution that we see, his prosecution in chapter 7, and the more persecution in chapter 8, drove these men to begin to propagate the gospel. And so don't despise things. I'm going to preach a message real soon on the thought that even sometimes the hardships that come into our life are really the favor of God. You don't want to miss that. I'll tell you when I'm going to preach it, so you'll be sure to be here, okay? But you don't want to miss that. But sometimes God allows persecution, allows prosecution, allows more persecution, because if we're not uncomfortable, we just stay where we are. Oh, I wish I had 30 minutes. I'd preach on chapter 11, but I don't have time. But we have this propagation, and then in chapter 12, we have this prison breaking, a perpetual prison breaking prayer meeting of the church ought to be in force at all times. Okay, and I wanted to end with chapter 9. Musicians are coming. I wanted to end in chapter 9. Where's my wife? How long have I gone? I knew you had a timer going. Huh? 20 minutes? 20 minutes? 20? My grandson's at 40, 40. I meant 20-minute increments. Okay. I really am done preaching, but let me give you, I really believe the Lord gave me this word. And I want to share it with you. Is there anybody here tonight that feels... And I mean really examine when I say this. You feel persecution, personal persecution from somebody about your faith. Would you raise your hand if you do? Okay. I don't know how many's here tonight. 180 maybe? 3 out of 180 out of 170, whatever, 150. 3 of us say, being persecuted. I feel it. I'm experiencing it. But I feel like the Lord showed me that that number is going to grow. Now, I didn't come to give you bad news. I came to give you good news. I want to tell all 3 of you that just said you are sensing that, what I feel the Lord said. But this is for all of us, because some of you are going to begin to face persecution. Now, maybe you don't even know what I mean when I say persecution. I mean resistance. I mean people, our vice president was persecuted for his faith. Yeah. Openly, publicly ridiculed. So persecution can be that, verbal. It might be physical. Somebody might beat you up. You might be put in jail. All of that's persecution. And here's what the Lord showed me. In chapter 8 of the book of Acts, who's doing the persecuting? Saul. In chapter 9, who gets knocked down in the road? Saul. Who gets the light and the revelation of who Jesus is? Saul. Who gets converted and saved? Who gets sent out preaching the word of God? I tricked you on that one. Paul had a name change. That was the trick. Okay. You got it right. Saul persecuted the church. But Saul had an experience in chapter 9. In chapter 8, he was coming against them, arresting them, wanted to kill them, stood there in chapter 7, watched Stephen persecuted, prosecuted, and killed, and consented to it. Teresa, Brother Bunch, the people who you feel are persecuting you, get ready. God's going to turn them around to converts. Your persecutors are going to become converts. If you'll do what the Lord has told us to do. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! Hey, don't you dare go talking bad about those people. Don't you dare go talking bad about those people. And don't you begin to pray, oh God, just get them out of my life. Oh God, just take them. Lord, just kill them. Don't pray those prayers. Lord, save them. Lord, I want to help me to love them. Rejoice. Be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. You know what the Bible says to do about those who persecute you? Pray for those who despitefully, they use you and they persecute you. Pray for them. One of the prophecies that, remember I told you that I received it because of the times from Brother Jack Cunningham, was that the Lord was going to send us Pauls to the church. They were going to be quick conversions, complete turnarounds. God was going to send them quick works, quick conversions that were going to quickly begin to work and bless the church. If you would claim that, I wish you would jump to your feet right now. Clap your hands to the Lord and just give the Lord a praise. I believe that God is going to send us Pauls that just a few days ago were Sauls. They were persecuting us in chapter 8, but in chapter 9, they're going to get a revelation of who Jesus is. They're going to speak in tongues. They're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. They're going to be sent out, used for the glory of God. Oh, come on and clap a little longer. Come on and give the Lord a praise. Aren't you glad for the promise? Aren't you glad for Pentecost? Aren't you glad for power? Come on, somebody. Aren't you glad even for persecution? Aren't you glad for prayer? Aren't you glad for prison shaking? Power, powerful prayer. Hila baboroto kosha. Hira mamononde hila baboroto kosha. Hallelujah. I feel like we need to make some room for the gifts right now. Let's just let the gifts move. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just get our minds on the Lord for just a minute. Come on, let's worship the Lord. If you feel led to be used in the gifts of the Spirit, pray for somebody, minister to somebody, speak in tongues. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, speak to us. Have your way, Lord. Oh, come on, somebody, release it. If the Lord's wanting to use you, let the Lord use you.
I said, times past, I have spoken to you. I have came to you. I have reminded you. I have sent my messenger unto you. Behold, tonight I am shaking. I am sending a great shaking. I am loosening the tent stakes because I am sending unto you more than you can hold.
Oh, Lord.
I am sending more than you can imagine.
Oh, God.
But I tell you tonight that I am the one who calls and I am the one who sends.
Yes.
All I expect of you is to answer my call.
Yes.
Answer my gifting.
Yes.
Answer my request.
Yes.
Be obedient when I ask of you.
Yes.
Listen unto my word, for I am speaking in a great manner.
Mm.
I am speaking in your soul.
Mm. Oh, come on, church. Let's say yes to the Lord right now. Let's say yes to the gift tonight. Would you reach over, find somebody to pray with right now? Go connect with somebody right now. Just begin to pray. God's will in their life, God's strength, God's power, God's anointing. Lord, have your way. God, draw us closer. Hila baboroto koshaya. Hila baboroto kaya mamanonde. Hiroto koshaya la baboroto. I wish you'd just obey the Spirit. Come on, I wish you'd just obey the Spirit right now. Move out by faith, operate in the gifts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You've got the power, you've got the power. Hila baboroto koshaya. Come on, let's just obey the Lord right now. You want to move out and go find somebody, do it. Maybe you need the Holy Ghost tonight. If you want the Holy Ghost, put your hands in the air. Begin to worship. Begin to praise Him right now. The Holy Ghost is in this place. Lord, we just want you to move. We want you to have your way. Give us a Pentecost tonight, Lord. Give us a Pentecost tonight, Jesus. This altar's open. If you want to pray at the altar, it's open. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name? Come up here, tell me. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, be baptized tonight in the name of Jesus. Want the Holy Ghost? Receive it tonight. Need a healing? Grab somebody that's praying. Say, I need a healing. Pray for me. Come on, they've got power to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Need delivered? It's here. Need a miracle? It's here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Have your way, Jesus, have your way, Jesus. Break out in this place, Lord. Let your anointing break out in this place. Break forth, God. Confirm your word tonight with signs and miracles and wonders right now, right here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every foul spirit. I bind every spirit that would try to hinder. I bind every spirit of infirmity that tries to keep you sick. I bind every spirit of depression that tries to bring you down. I loose the power of God, the joy of the Lord in your life. I loose healing in your body in the name of Jesus. Church, rise up and give Him praise. Rise up tonight and give Him thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ikayala baboro toshayala mamanon. Itayala baboro toshayala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
tonight, I want you to come up here to the front. If you want somebody to lay hands on you, pray for your healing, pray for deliverance, pray for a miracle, just come right up over here to my left, your right, right over here. Come on, God is getting ready to do some things. God is getting ready. How many believe that God would confirm His word tonight with miracles and signs and wonders? Right here, it's going to happen right here. I need about 3 or 4 believers that would help me pray. You don't have to be a preacher. I mean, if you believe that God would heal, that God would deliver, that God would set free, come and help me right now.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.